Sorry, this fucking phone. It looks like it's recording. It's not recording. Hello, hello. Welcome to Kill the Bottle Podcast. Eddie Zamora, a.k.a. the Yum Yum Foodie. And standing, not sitting, is Megan Elizabeth. You look like you're standing like you're about, like a juror about to give off the verdict. That's what it looks like right now. How are you, Megan?
I'm all right. How are you?
You sound great. I mean, really. You're the epitome of energy here today.
Well, I worked out. I did a leg thing. And usually when you do lead things, you want to walk it off or you want to stretch it out. Instead, I got straight in a car for 2 hours. So now it's like aching before the day after. I mean, so it hurts.
Leg things are fine. If it is called Kill the Bottle Podcast, we are sipping on a little pre-batch cocktail that I have today. It is it's my friend Gio's cocktail. He calls it La Rosa Blanca, but it is essentially a white Negroni. So we've got white rum. We've got a little white vermouth and then white Luxardo bitters in this one. So it's definitely on the sweeter profile side, but it's nice. And of course, since I work with Havana Club, it's made with Havana Club rum. But
what?
Gio, what?
Shock.
Listen.
Shock.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Shocking.
Yeah. And sitting.
Do you know how many pork available?
You know what's funny is I actually have pork in the house right now. I made some Cuban lechon because tomorrow
you're on Amazon. You're doing some Cuban sandwiches.
I'm doing some Cuban sandwiches. I'm doing a Cuban sandwich.
Which is not tomorrow to people listening.
No, it's not tomorrow.
It was last week.
I'm doing a Cuban sandwich. I'm making the lechon fresh. I am doing a sandwich called the Elena Rus, which is like OG Cuban sandwich. That's how you know a place is Cuban, is if they got that Elena Rus sandwich. So it's like a roast turkey, strawberry jam, Philly cream cheese.
What?
What
the hell is
on
this?
On a sweet roll, like buttered up, and then in the
Never
sandwich press.
Never heard of this.
Well, because you're from Greeley, Colorado.
I'm white.
And then last, I'm doing something called pan con pasta, and it is not the kind of pasta that you think. Pasta is a paste. It is a bocadillo. Oh. It is a ham paste. So it's just like pinkish
pork paste.
It is a
pork paste.
Listen, you're the fucking asshole who kept on posting about that pork belly crispy shit that you were
and
looking
I
for
found
everywhere.
Some
okay,
at
then stop giving me shit.
Smorgasburg.
Smorgasburg. Aren't you German? Can't you pronounce that?
Smorgasburg.
There we go, Treach. Sitting here, we have a guest here on the show today. So for the folks that are watching on video, we don't just have an interpreter, like a silent person just sitting here doing sign language
Start
for the show.
Start doing some sign language.
Start doing some sign language.
I felt like a child watching his parents fight.
So welcome to the show, a comedian here, originally from Miami, living here in L.A., Señorito Mike Menendez.
Señorito Mike Menendez.
You like that? Señorito Mike Menendez. Welcome to the show, Mr. Mike. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
I'm good.
You guys have a very fun dynamic. Like it's fun.
Oh, do we?
It's like honeymooners, like where it's like, oh, it's like when you watch the honeymooners, it's like, oh, probably when the cameras turned off, he actually did hit her. But
yeah.
But in the moment, it's fun because there's a studio. Yeah. He's not gonna do it in front of the studio audience.
No,
and by that
no.
I mean she's the Jackie Gleason that's gonna knock you straight to the moon.
Yeah, that
would
be. That was gonna say.
Might be the Jackie Gleason that does that. I think that's Megan's like signature move is she pretends not
to
be
you off camera.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. And listen, depending
aggressive.
On how you punctuate that, it sounds differently.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You said I beat you off camera. If there's a silence,
comma.
There's a pause. Yeah.
Thank you.
Off camera.
Got it. Okay. Cool. Yeah. We don't need any confusion.
I just
here.
Threw
you're
up in my mouth.
You're either beating Eddie when the camera is off, or you are giving a hand job to the camera based on the way the sound is.
Right.
Yeah, I am
right.
Beating you off camera.
I'm beating you off camera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's definitely I'm beating you, comma. Eddie, comma.
Off camera. I know, but the way you said before, there wasn't
exclamation
space.
Exclamation point,
I'm just
no
trying to
finger
help
emoji.
You in case you tell someone else you're going to beat them off camera.
I love this. I love having just somebody here who can, like, decipher arguments for us and just, like, you know, I like this.
It's great.
It's definitely elevating the situation.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've been doing this for 2 years now.
Holy fuck.
Did you realize?
No.
Yeah,
two years?
We started before,
and this is why
you
get beat off
birthday
camera.
2 years ago.
This is why you get beat off camera. You don't
like, I don't remember shit.
When's our anniversary?
I need to get checked.
Hey, happy 2 year anniversary.
Happy 2 year anniversary, Megan. Yeah. There you go.
Go fuck yourself.
I mean, only half of those have been sober, so it's fine.
And enjoyable. No, I'm just kidding. Cheers, Eddie.
I can't believe
cheers
I'm,
to
bro,
two
cheers. I can't believe I'm on the last episode.
It's a, you know, hey, all good things must come to, well, all mediocre things must come to an end. Let's just, you know.
All mediocre things must, we don't know.
We don't.
Continue.
We don't know. We really
What's
don't
the end
know.
Of that one?
I don't know. So, Mike.
Let's get back to Mike.
Let's get back to Mike, our guest.
Yeah.
So, how first of all, I'm always perplexed where anybody from my hometown leaves my hometown. So God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm always not perplexed, but
it was
always,
easy.
Like,
people
proud.
Were mad annoying when I was growing up. It was very easy to leave.
Yeah, well, that's good. And then where in Miami or how do you decide you want to do comedy? Did you leave to do comedy or did you leave and then decide to do comedy later?
I was one of those guys that I was in a fraternity in at the University of Miami. Like I wanted, and I was in sports radio. I thought I wanted to be like a radio broadcaster.
Like a
George Sedano. Like,
yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah, those guys are awesome. But the thing was, is that I remember I was working for WVUM, and then simultaneously I fell for this girl. And by the way, it's a common theme throughout like my story. It's always something with some girl that ends up like turning. That's just the way. It's because I went to an all boys school, and they were.
I mean, yeah,
yeah. So I was in a fraternity and I was doing sports radio and I thought like, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be like, cause I loved sports before I had sex. I love sports and I still love sports. I don't let it
now
affect my mood.
Sex is a sport.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. No, it's not. Don't get me fucking killed. Anyway. So the point I'm trying to make is,
it's exhausting.
Yeah. Women are great. I don't even call them women. I call them superior.
Like
I don't call them sex workers. I call them senators and I don't, in the middle of this very turbulent year, my sophomore year, I was like, I was halfway through what people call like the best 4 years of your life. And I was like, this shit does not feel like the best 4 years of my life.
I'm with you, me neither. Yeah,
and
it was terrible.
I have to turn this. So I quit that fraternity and I went over to the theater department. And I begged the head of the theater department, like, bro, I got a late start on this. I'm sorry. I didn't know I wanted to do this. Like, can you please like let me? And he's like, I've noticed you in the halls around here. You're a funny guy. Like, I'll give you a shot. I ended up doing like 8 plays over the next 2 years. I went to a Shakespeare intensive in Massachusetts at one point. I studied Shakespeare. I thought I was gonna be like a really serious actor. And then I went to Chicago for a year to like continue studying all that. And then I was like, I had more fun making cast like the crew members of a theatrical production laugh than doing the actual like production.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because they were just normal people, just they're dressed in all black and shit like that. That's all they're doing. And other actors I just didn't really like relate to. Like, because I was still a guy. Remember, like I'm coming from sports. I'm not like, I wasn't like jazz hands when I was 11 and shit. So.
I just want to give you more room so you can move around. I feel like we're imprisoning you with your headset. He's been there. I understand. I can relate to that. But the thing is with plays too, like I always preferred the comedy because I got more of joy and a adrenaline rush from hearing laughter than I ever did anything else, any other show.
Right.
But stand-up is something that you do that's harder than I feel like.
It's a lot of fun. And that's like, I basically switched to stand-up at the end of my time in Chicago. And then my brother was coming to Los Angeles and we're really close. So we moved here together. And I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for broke on this. And then if I find myself like destitute or anything like that, I'll quit and I'll go back to Miami and I'll be one of those guys like, yeah, I tried stand up one time, but now I sell aluminum siding.
In Miami, you either become a firefighter or an elementary school teacher if you're a girl. It's like guys all go to firefighting school and then they marry a girl who teaches, I don't know, fifth grade or something. Well, that's the standard Miami. Miami move?
Fit in. Well, I also went to an all-boy Catholic school that's like deep Belenjeza, which is deeply entrenched in Miami. And the thing about it, I was like, I don't want to go back to Miami and marry some girl that went to Lourdes that already dated two of my friends in high school. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way it's like that insular.
Lourdes was the all-girl school.
And then Carrollton too.
Carrollton too. Miami has quite a few of the all-girl schools. I remember going to a couple of those Christmas formals, just trying to achieve some carnal knowledge of of somebody besides myself. And it never worked out. But it was those were the parties you wanted to go to if you were a single guy in South Florida.
I hated all of them so much. I had such a terrible time at them.
Good.
It was just
they're miserable.
Bad.
No, they are.
They're miserable.
Oh my god.
No, I remember.
What's miserable about them?
They're just.
They're not really parties. Then you
well,
can't. Define
Miami
them as that.
Has this certain like caste system too.
Yeah.
Where there it is like I would meet girls in Miami. I'm like, your mom has trained you to only seek out guys with private jets.
Yeah.
It's like this. And I get it. I get it. You come from a country where you were starving and this and that, and you're like, well, fuck it, we're gonna better ourselves. And that's there's just like this thing in Miami where. You almost feel like you need to show your bank slip and this before you even meet people. That's why that stupid ATM machine thing at Art Basel did so well, where people had to show. Yeah. Did you hear about that art piece? It was an art piece where you would put in your, I don't know if it was your ATM card or whatever, but it had to be, I guess, your ATM card, and it was like an arcade machine where it would rank you based on how much money you had in your account, and that was the art piece.
What was the lowest ranking?
Oh, I don't remember what it was. I wasn't there, so it must have been, it would have been me.
So negative ranking? Negative 102.
It would have been like Nigerian prince. Right. Like, how much money have you given?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow.
Which by the way, like, I'm obviously talking some shit about Miami, but I love it as a city, and I've grown to appreciate it more since I left. And honestly, like, when I moved back for the pandemic for a year and a half, because I moved back for the pandemic, and I got to be a comedian for the first time for an extended period of time in Miami. So I got to live as a comedian. And that's when I started doing shows with people that I never would have seen in high school just because of the way Miami is laid out. Like, you know, when I went to Belen, it was a lot of white Cuban people. And in comedy, it's a lot more Dominicans. There's a lot more Haitians. There's like black Puerto Ricans and everything like that. Like Jamaicans, people are all like mixing together. And I was like, oh, this is the shit that I was missing growing up. It's something that I got to do a lot more once I went to Los Angeles, where it's just a free-for-all. Like, everyone's just intermingling and everything like that. Yeah, like, that's what I craved growing up.
Well, you know, like, we grew up in Miami, so I think we have carte blanche to criticize it and be able to call it out, you know, for its flaws, as much as we love and are nostalgic for all the great things it does, too.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of have that because we've had also the opportunity to live elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we have some perspective that a lot of folks maybe don't have from, you know, whatever your hometown, like you, Megan. Mm-hmm. You can definitely say whatever about your hometown or places that you've lived in because, hey, you now you've lived here for almost a little over 2 years.
I can't say that Kearney, Nebraska is a piece of shit because I haven't lived in Kearney, Nebraska.
Sounds like a piece of shit.
Well, I mean, come on.
Kearney's and Nebraska. Like, put the two together. You know what I mean?
Grandma's going to kill me when she hears that. No, I was actually looking up the happiest cities because I just read this today and I felt like Miami was actually in the top 182, but not Los Angeles and not Greeley.
That might coincide with the fact that I remember there was a study a few years back where it said that Hispanic people were the happiest group of people in the United States. It was something like that. It was something having to do
maybe
with
maybe that's what I'm not seeing.
We're also the best
here
liars.
You're number
on,
six.
We're also like,
liars.
Number census what? Tests. So it's like
we're happy.
There's only two people living in this house. Yeah, okay.
Makes us super happy.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are number 66 out of 182 in the top 182.
Of the world or the
United
country?
States.
Look up the cities with the most fraud. And I think Miami's number one.
Wait, hold up. You said, hold up. How did you go from... How did she go from, I heard you guys were the happiest, to like, no, you're 66.
One of the happiest out of 100.
One of the 66 happiest.
We're barely in the
you're
middle.
You're 66. Well, there's way more cities.
Who's
left.
The 66th best player in the NBA? And let's see how he feels about that.
You Google it?
Isn't it Jeremy Lin? Like, he's like on the bench somewhere. It might be Jeremy Lin.
Texas isn't on there at all until like number 100. Just so everyone knows. Everyone wants to move there, but...
Well, in the winter, when they're freezing their asses off and have no power, then nobody's happy. But then in the summer, it's fine.
And then number one is Fremont, California.
I've been to Fremont.
That's near the Bay, right?
Yeah.
This is the happiest.
But Fremont, California is like... It's like... Sorry, Fremont, California, but to me, every time I've been up there, it feels like an episode of Sons of Anarchy.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, it's just like you're just imagining you're going to hear the sound of Harleys and a bunch of dudes in leather jackets.
Just a bunch of happy-go-lucky Viking enthusiasts.
I'd really? Like to point out, too, that Fargo, North Dakota, is number 20. So, I don't know. I don't know about it. Maybe I need to do more research on this article.
People in Fargo are happier than people in Miami. That's what they're
saying. But coincide that with the amount of meth per city. And let's see for real. Let's find out some real stats.
Maybe it's per capita. Maybe?
Yeah. Let's do the Venn diagram of like meth. That...
There's eight people in Fargo.
Yeah, there's eight people in Fargo.
And they're all really happy.
So that's 60%.
They're all on shrooms.
That's 60% of their population.
They all should be convicts in jail, but they're not. So it makes them happier.
Wait, here's what I'd like to know. If you could pull up that list for me. I want to see, like, do the cities get less diverse the happier they get?
Oh, yeah. I don't think they have that.
I would love to hear the fucking, like Jackson Hole, Wyoming is the best.
They have, like, income, employment.
Martha's Vineyard is
emotional, physical well-being, and community and environment.
Okay.
How do you measure that? Get the fuck out of here. That's a bunch of horseshit.
You take us the poll.
Yeah, okay. Which we lie on.
We're really happy.
Yeah. Really? Who the fuck is ever honest
get
about
out.
Any of that?
Hey, y'all happy over here?
Yes, yes. Well, I don't have to hear my name, right?
Too many people in Miami said, fuck off. And the people in Fargo, North Dakota said, excuse me, fuck off.
I think that's the measurement.
We're happy.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Excuse
me. You're super happy up here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bill Macy comes every 5 years for the Fargo.
He does.
For the Fargo anniversary.
Yeah.
Excited.
For Fargo Con.
We love
and
that.
He signs autographs at the airport.
All eight of us.
And, yeah, exactly. Him and then Frances McDormand does like a Zoom. She doesn't even show up. She does like some virtual autograph signing. I was going to ask you, what was your first joke? I'm always curious what the first, like the icebreaker joke, if you recall, that you did on stage.
I don't even remember, man. Like it was so bad. The first time I tried stand up, I was in Chicago at this like bar in Wrigleyville, which is a very like.
The Cubby?
No, I think it was called.
I don't know if the Cubby.
I think it was called John Markles or John Merkel, something like that. And it went so bad. Like there was a girl in the front row. Like it was just quiet for most of the time. And there was some girl in the front row. I caught eye contact with her for a second, and in front of everyone, she said, "Don't look at me." In front of everyone, it went so bad. So I don't even know what I said. You know, I don't remember most. I remember the first good joke I wrote.
What was it?
That's the one that went viral like recently. The I'm white the same way that Spider-Man is a spider. That's like my first really good joke. Which I think is how you discovered me and how you started messaging me after that joke.
Yeah.
Because you reposted it and you started following me and messaged me.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'd love to cook you. I'm like, what? I'd love to cook with you, man. I'm like, well, okay. That's not true.
That's not true.
Cook you first.
Like,
oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I had just seen the series Dahmer, and I was like really inspired. I
mean, that's aggressive. You know?
Yeah. that's all it was.
That was the first one, and it was based off of just like conversations I had with friends of mine about like just, you know, you get older and you start having you're trying to pull from as many places as you can, and when you just start out in comedy, you realize like I don't have much life experience, I don't have much of anything anyone cares about, and then you start talking with your friends about shit, and then that's where you pull stuff from. I remember it came from my friends telling me that I was white and I couldn't accept it. All my friends, it was I had a group of friends that were five black comics, one Jewish comic, and then one like Lebanese comic. I think it was Lebanese. Devin, please tell me. And
he's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm from Syria. He's like, oh, shit.
He's a white guy, but that anger is Middle Eastern. Anyway, so the point I'm trying to say is, so we were having these conversations about it. And then I remember I talked with people back home. And they're like, yeah, you're white. I'm like, and I thought I was Cuban. And then, like, the nuances of that were just so foreign to me. So then I got to, like, right on joke form, and that was the first time I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of like my mission statement for the rest of my but that was like 4 years in.
Yeah, but did you go into any you know, like joke writing I don't want to say class, but
no,
something that'll help you kind of hone in.
Don't take
your
any classes.
Punchline, you're this, you're that.
What
did you use as a template for yourself when you started? When you first started, like kind of creating or crafting?
I was a big fan of stand up in general, so I listened to a lot of albums. Like I would listen to like Dick Gregory live at the Playboy Club from 1964.
Funny fucking guy.
You know, like George Carlin, Class Clown. I love that shit. Or I would listen to old Red Fox albums. All right,
In my top five, Red Fox.
Yeah, well, my thing was that I was like, I was into real classic stand-up. I wasn't into contemporary stuff. And what was really good about the group of friends that I had when I started stand-up was that a couple of them were really more into like the new wave of stand-up that I wasn't familiar with. So they gave me albums to listen to and everything like that. And that's when I was like, oh, man, you know, Roy Scovel is amazing and Tom Segura is amazing and, you know, Ali Wong is amazing. And this was all before they became like household names or Tommy Jonigan or Sam Morril or Mark Norman, like all these. So that was good, just kind of like completing my education and my love for this. You know,
is there somebody that like innovates to the sense where you're like, fuck, no matter. In other words, they always get you, they can get you out of your house to go see them. That's the person that you're like, fuck, if this person is coming to town, or if I hear they're doing if they're working out some material by me, if I find out this person
and
is
I can get in,
and I can get in, and I just want to see them work. Is there somebody like that for you?
Not anymore. That there used to be that. I used to do that a lot. Like, you know, when you're when I was doing open mics and stuff like that, like you'd hear like, oh, Chappelle's going to drop in at the Comedy Store. And then me and my friends would get in a car and we'd rush over. And then by like the, you know, the 25th time, I'm just like, you know, I should be home right now. Yeah. You know, that's after a while. But two nights ago, I got to do a show with Bill Burr at the Improv. And it was amazing.
Just He's a legend, man.
He opened the damn show.
Get the fuck he out of here. How do you follow show? Bill Burr?
He opened the show. I did not follow Bill Burr. My friend had to follow Bill Burr.
Like, it's like Led Zeppelin just played for an hour and a half. Here you go.
Here's what's so funny, because he was Please Allow, which means he goes up whenever he wants. And I by all means, go up first.
He's earned it.
I personally liked it. I was like, because I think every comedian was like, oh, we got to do our thing. So he opens up doing 20 minutes, and then I am last out of six comics. I am last on the show.
You're headlining.
I'm not.
You're a headliner.
Absolutely.
First guy did 20, 25. I'm doing 10 to 15.
Sounds like a headline to me. No,
here's Bill Burr down at the bottom corner, very small.
Exactly. So what I said was when I came up, I looked at the audience. It was still really full. It was a packed main room at the Improv.
That's good.
And I looked at the audience and I was like, cool, you guys start out with Bill Burr and then with me. I was like, and tomorrow you get, you know, when people say like, what'd you do last night? He's like, I saw a comedy show in reverse. That shit was wild, bro.
Started at the top. Now we're here.
It was some Christopher Nolan shit where I see the ending first. And then I'm like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Like,
you went to a like Memento comedy show.
Memento comedy show. I listened to a comedy show backwards and hurt the devil.
So I'm still upset with the girl in the front row at your first show saying, don't look at me.
Oh, she's probably been divorced twice by now.
Why are you in the front row? She probably wanted him.
Because
it was an open mic. It was free. There was 30 comics that night.
Sit in the back.
No, and I'm glad she did that because it showed me like that's as bad as like the first one could go. And I did not do well. And for some reason I was like, no, I want to come back because I like the way that felt. I think I could get better at that. I want to get better at that.
Well, still. Like, I would like her to not sit in the front.
Does bombing motivate you?
Oh, huh? Sorry. Bombing motivate you? Ugh.
It used to. Now it's just a part of the process. Okay. I don't get like up in arms about anything. I used to be like crazy flustered. Like I'd hit chairs and shit like when I get off stage at open mics. Yeah. I was very like volatile emotionally. Not towards anybody else. Towards myself always. Like, not anymore. It's just, it's a part of the process, you know? The thing is that I've done enough sets where it's like, you know, I bombed and it means everything to me because this is what I love. But the audience, they're not going to remember this.
Yeah, they're not going to remember this.
You got to do something crazy. You got to, if you're bombing, you have to do something insane for people to remember it. Like you got Kramer yelling the N-word at the goddamn weapon. Yeah. And thankfully I never went off on like a Fijian couple or anything like that. Like it was in the pocket.
Yeah.
I don't get angry at crowds. That's another thing. I never get angry at them. I'm just like, all right, cool. You guys are not feeling this. I'll figure it out later. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. No, I don't. It's not like I don't get devastated anymore. I don't really have the time. I'm too old to get devastated now. That shit. And just like spend 2 weeks, like with the curtains closed, like acting like I'm the Van Gogh of comedy, like they'll get these when I'm dead, like you know. And then you don't die. And then you don't die. You just keep going like a hack. And
yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah,
you should use that.
Yeah, die like
a
hack.
I'm still mad at this girl for sitting in the front row.
Megan, let's talk about holding on to anger. I know what's wrong with me.
You don't even know. Yeah, just let it go. Okay,
I can't. He's like, I can let go of bombing, and I'm like, I can't.
Just beat off the camera.
I know how to cheer Megan up. Next week is her favorite fucking holiday. Megan loves St. Patrick's Day. So what are you doing for St. Patrick's Day, Megan? Because you're talking to two Cuban people. I can't fucking pretend that I give a shit about St. Patrick's Day, and I've told you this before. You're welcome to embrace that. I just can't.
What do you celebrate that I don't?
Nothing, because, like, what? Like,
wow, you're so cool.
I don't know. Like, fun. Nothing that you don't celebrate.
I celebrate Kurt Cobain's birthday.
National Pork Day.
Kurt Cobain's death day.
I'm trying to think of, like, nothing that you don't celebrate. And the day I think Kurt Cobain actually died.
Those are the three.
Cubans don't have any holidays, dude. All of our shit was taken from us.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry.
By who? St. Patrick? It wasn't St. Patrick.
No, it wasn't St. Patrick.
He came in with his snakes and took all our plátanos. Dude, I worked in Chicago. I worked at two St. Patrick's days in Chicago. They dye the river green or anything like that. And I was at a bar in Wrigleyville. And I would work 21-hour shifts.
The Cubby? No, I'm just kidding.
It was called. No, it was called. Have you been? You been in Chicago?
No, I've been to Chicago, but I haven't been during St. Patrick's.
This place was called Redmond's Ale House. It's no longer around. It was just a shithole. I loved it. Like I spent my, you know, my first. It was the first time I'd ever been outside of Miami, and I worked those damn shifts where like you're like security in the morning, and then you're a busser at night. And you end up making a lot of money. It was just a shit show. But what is your experience like with St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I celebrate. Like, it's the one holiday. Like, I don't celebrate Christmas. Yeah. I don't really celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I just...
Well, you also drink a lot. Therefore, I mean, let's find the... And you're not Mexican, so let's find the one you got.
What do Irish people do on St. Patrick's Day? Do you guys, like, draw dicks on a cutout of Colin Farrell or something like that? Is that, like, your Christmas tree?
And,
yeah. And then she and beats then pretend off to beat, in front yeah, of the camera.
Yeah. No, we... In Colorado, I was in an Irish band. So we would get booked our big paying gigs that day, and it would take a lot of money because so many bars want an Irish band.
Yeah.
So it would take a lot of money for us to go in there. Mm. And then that also meant, like, you know, we were the stars of the show of the craziest, you know, drunk night of the year, and we're getting free drinks, and everyone's just out. It was exciting. It just reminds me of exciting times and fun times. So at jobs, too, I would always decorate. Like, I'd always do, like, when I was a teacher, I'd do, like, a little scavenger hunt. Kids, I'd do a find gold. Or when I worked for Adam Carolla, I did a scavenger hunt at his office and had everyone go find gold to win a Jameson bottle. Mm-hmm. It's a fun thing for me to celebrate. And I'm super – I always joke about being German. Mm-hmm. I did a genetics test. Turns out, like, zero German, even though my name sounds super Nazi. Mm-hmm. I am, like, 800% as white as they come, like, United Kingdom. Like, so –
Well, as long as –
You're not even, like, exciting white. Not, like, Norwegian.
No.
You can fucking, like, blow shit up.
Straight nah, UK.
Well, so. As long as you acknowledge what you are and you are cognizant of it and you promptly – kill yourself, everything should be okay based on what I've read.
Yeah, so but I have so much shit going on.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize next week was St. Patrick's Day, so I have what? No fucking plans.
It creeps up
so
on you.
I got you
no
covered.
Fucking plans.
I got you covered, Megan.
What are we doing?
Well, so
I'm not drinking rum on St. Patrick's Day.
Friend,
I'm not eating pork on St. Patrick's Day.
Didn't you make bratwurst 1 year for fucking St. Patrick's Day? There's
yes.
pork in that. Anyway,
there were beef bratwurst.
But yeah, sure, okay. No, I have a little fun little party bus thing that my friends are doing that I will.
You need a white friend to interpret work. For you?
I might.
Yes!
Just to keep me from getting arrested.
What is your?
I might need a white friend. Yeah.
We all need one.
I can interpret everything for you.
So
yeah, exactly.
So you get this pork thing seems to be like an inside.
It's a Cuban
joke.
Thing. So she makes fun that like she'll when
I
she
met
fucking
him.
When she fucking shows
was
up
your,
to
was
my
your
house,
ex-boyfriend like killed by a drunk driving pig or something?
Yes,
like,
it real? Was that.
Like a pig.
No, dude. She's uh-huh. still traumatized by the movie.
The hooves were an issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
Annie was wrong.
I met him, you know, via another friend, and I thought this is like. The foodie guy. This is the foodie.
Yeah.
And I came to his house a few times and we became friends. And every time he cooked me, it wasn't bad.
Story.
It wasn't yeah. bad cooking. I'm
okay.
just saying that. It's very good cooking.
Right.
But every time I came over, it was pork. Pork this.
You come to a Cuban
that.
House, that's what you eat.
I didn't know. I just figured it was the foodie. So I was going to get presented with like
what
these.
What the fuck?
Like,
you thought I was going to make you
like a steak yeah, every time I came over, this huge like smoked roast. Or
yeah.
Oh.
I came yeah. over to
now,
his house.
This is the civilized versions
pork.
Of Cuban.
Now,
you're lucky he
I
didn't
only
serve
make
you
pork
a
when she comes over on purpose.
You're lucky he didn't serve you Che Guevara's head. That's
oh,
what we used to do.
Absolutely.
That's what we used to do.
I would have been like, wow.
We changed.
The yum yum food.
Trying to be nice over here.
So angry.
No, it isn't.
We kill actual pigs, no communist
yeah.
pigs.
He's I actually mean, got a pig farm right
over there. Maybe I do. You don't know what's going on the other side of that fence.
I'm only going to serve you bratwurst. I'm not even German.
I mean,
what do
yeah,
Irish
like,
people
first of all, you've
cabbage.
Never fucking cooked anything for
cabbage.
Me. So, like,
I have to. That's bullshit.
What the fuck? Uh-huh. Yeah, tell me. It's all about
I
punctuation.
Made a slaw.
I've had. Oh, she made a slaw. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I made a casserole with zucchini that I brought over for a holiday that we did here, a Christmas, which you bought me gifts for, and I didn't know we were supposed to bring gifts, so I looked like an asshole.
No, you just looked like an asshole. Oh. You didn't have to bring gifts.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a matter of like bringing gifts or no gifts.
What do you celebrate that's like a big holiday for you?
I mean, I have to celebrate Noche Buena.
Yeah.
Because of my family.
Christmas
it's
Eve.
Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is a lot more important to Cuban people than Christmas itself.
Did you open presents on Noche Buena or Christmas morning?
Oh, God. I don't even... I think it was always Christmas morning.
Me too.
So that was that was the American part of it.
Yeah.
But Noche Buena was always like, you know, you go over during the day and you do the pig with the men of the family and, you know, and you go at night and it takes until like fucking 10:30 at night to eat.
It's, always because we start every whole pig. Whole pig,
whole
like
pig.
Split open in a roasting box.
We're not even doing a piece of it. We're doing the whole fucking
We're doing that whole motherfucker. He's going to look at you too the whole time.
And you're dancing with your family members and stuff like that, which is cool. There's no sexual tension because you've known them your whole life. And,
Yeah. Unless you got that Bacero cousin that just came in last year.
I can't fuck you. I've gotten to know you already.
Turning into that girl. Don't look at me. Do not look at me.
So that's how you know. That's not the reality for some people. Some people's like, oh my God, true love was in front of my aunt the entire time.
This was fun.
So I took it. So lately I've been seeing all the crazy shit that's popped up with ChatGPT. Have you heard of ChatGPT?
No, who's that?
That's the artificial intelligence that's gone live online.
Hot.
Where people will... they'll have it write like term papers and essays for school, and people are getting in trouble because they're using it to fucking create like
ChatGPT.
Yes, a whole, I have heard this. Yeah. There's a whole a series of Seinfeld that ChatGPT started.
Yeah,
and it's just keeps writing episodes of Seinfeld, and people
Scripts.
Follow it on like Twitch, and it's like a live stream of episodes of Seinfeld created by this AI. So I said, "Fuck this! I'm gonna go on this AI today, and I'm gonna ask it." What are the best restaurants in our two cities? And I want to find out how accurate this chat GPT is.
AI.
Yeah.
Alan Iverson is writing episodes of
Breaking
Seinfeld?
Ankles. Breaking ankles and hitting threes. And with the fadeaway, he writes the episode.
All the basketball guys are so weird post-career.
They are, bro. They are, bro.
Sorry about that.
No, I love me some AI, dude.
I need a joke because it's scaring me.
So in our hometown, ChatGPT, I asked it, I was like, what are the top 20 restaurants in Miami?
Yeah.
And it's kind of wild, man, because within 10 seconds, it will scan the internet based on blogs, articles, blah, 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 and it creates a whole fucking narrative.
What was number one?
Number one, I haven't been to it. It's called Zuma Miami. I've heard of it.
And it writes a script, right? As if you were like going to report on it.
Well, this one I just asked it for like a list,
okay.
So it just gave me a list. So Zuma Miami number two is Joe Stone Crab. I'll give Joe Stone.
Yeah.
I don't know about number two, but I'll give Joe Stone Crab because it's iconic.
When I think of the most important places that people in Miami want to eat, a lot of like big events in my family's life, like big celebrations, happen at Joe Stone Crab. Like I remember my grandfather's, I think it was his 75th birthday, and this would be a year before he died. We had his 75th birthday at Joe Stone Crab, and that was like a big, big deal. We, you know, we didn't do that like every.
Well, crazy thing about this restaurant, Joe Stone Crab, is that it's only open seasonally when stone crabs are available. For folks at home, if you don't know, stone crabs are basically the crabs are caught and they only cut off one claw and then put them back in the water with their second claw so that they can defend themselves. And then next year they. You know, take them out and they cut off another claw, and it's like a sustainable way of letting the claws grow back. And the claws are what you eat on that crab; they're crack.
Yeah.
But
it also seems inhumane.
Well, Joe Stone Crab. Well, they're gonna fucking kill it anyway. So Joe Stone Crab is only open for a few months out of the year when the claws are seasonal.
Yeah.
And the people that work there are like tenured there. They all make. Six figures, the waiters do. And to become a waiter at Joe Stone Crab, these people, you have to wait till somebody retires.
Yeah.
Because nobody gives up the fucking job of working at Joe Stone Crab. Anyway, all right. Yeah. Number three is Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. I don't know about that.
I don't know that place.
Yeah. I mean, Yardbird is it started there, and then it's, there's one in LA now.
Okay.
There's
one
in Vegas.
Is it the beer place?
It's like a southern...
Where all the beers, they have a ton of beers.
No, you're thinking of Yard House.
Yard House.
Yes. Yeah. Yardbird is like a... It's not... It's good.
That's a great place
Yardbird
to break...
Yardbird is good.
That's a great place to break up with somebody.
Q or KYU, it is, right?
Yeah, it's just like, I'm sorry we can't continue, but there are over 300 varieties of beer here. Soak that in.
So many fish in the sea.
Yeah, wait, can I do a promo? I don't have a lot of money.
Yeah, do a promo. Do a promo for Yard House, please.
Yard House. Break it off here.
Yeah, perfect. I like that.
Oh, cool, thanks.
This one fucked with me. Koyo Taco. Have you ever been to Koyo Taco?
Yeah, it's in Wynwood.
There's one
good.
In Wynwood. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Pretty good, really?
Well, the cashier was very attractive, and that's how I...
That makes it good. Got it. To me, Coya Tacos is to Mexican food what the Versailles in LA is to Cuban food.
Right.
It's fucking mediocrity in a city that doesn't know any better.
Right.
You know? But whatever. Coya Tacos. Alter, Neo, Lamar, Michael's Genuine. Michael Genuine is good. Mandolin, Bazaar, Jose Andres, Upland. I haven't been to Upland yet. Palacio de Jugo. Of course. Palacio Hugo is like, OG. Yeah. You would love this place, Megan. I'll take it to Palacio Hugo. It's like a bunch of kiosks, a lot of pork, a lot of crunchy pork.
It's been 2 years. I don't think you're ever taking me to Miami.
El Cielo, Bluetooth Carbon, Biblos, good. Comodo,
Versailles. El Cielo in every city, though.
You guys haven't done like a podcast in Miami?
Not yet.
Oh.
You imagine if I take her fucking back, she'll never come back.
She'll never come back.
No, because she'll be shit-faced. They'll be the hospitalizer.
I am trained to find gazillionaires with private planes.
That's right.
Did you by chance look up top restaurants in Greeley?
I may have.
Shut up!
I may have.
That's the list next... three long?
No, because I asked for 20. Because I really am I'm
there's
curious.
There's not 20 restaurants in that motherfucker.
That's why I wanted to find out.
You're a big private plane fan?
I could be.
You know, all commercial flights are private planes for me, and because when I sit down, I take my pants off immediately. Go ahead.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah.
Southwest would kill. Duh.
Any doll is a sex doll if I have sex with it.
Southwest would actually, the passengers would probably sit on top of you even naked. That's how crazy that airline is.
By the way, I took Spirit for the first time recently. It wasn't bad.
Not compared to and you Southwest. Made it back? Now it's
still, yeah, because yeah. You know what it was? I just realized, I'm like, oh, it's just boring. That's it. It's not bad.
But they charge you to breathe on Spirit.
I took like just a bet. But I was only going to Miami for like 5 or 6 days. Like 5 days. So I didn't need anything.
Yeah,
like,
you
I
had clothes
back in Miami. And it's cheap. But it's cheap. The seats are right here. I hate that.
That's fine. I was like, I hate that. It was like being on a train, like in the sky, like a train.
So it's funny. Every time I'm at the airport and I'm like a terminal adjacent to Spirit, or I end up on the like rental car shuttle with the Spirit pilot, I'm always looking at them and I kind of like feel sorry
for
them.
Are you drunk?
It's the weirdest thing.
I always know when I'm near Spirit passengers. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, that's a given.
Their shoes are off.
Oh yeah. What shoes?
They smell
funny.
They
didn't bring fucking shoes.
Or it's their first time flying ever, and there's 8 million questions they have. That's when I had to stop.
You know you're at security for Spirit Airlines when there's a garbage can full of half full water bottles.
Yes.
That's when you fucking know you are at like Southwest or Spirit Airlines.
Do you know
that, you know people paid for their own ticket.
Oh, first time flying? First time?
Yeah, good
time. First time, motherfucker.
That is insane what's become of like airline travel in this country.
It used to be fancy.
Well, here's the thing. There's a great line in Jerry Maguire that Renee Zellweger says, because at the beginning of the movie, when we're introduced to Renee Zellweger. Yeah, Jerry Maguire is in first class, and then they close the blinds, and she's next to Jonathan and Nikki. Who's my drug dealer now, by the way. That's a fun, small world.
Fucking amazing. No, okay. Does his head weigh 8 pounds?
Still.
His weight weighs. They close the blinds. And yeah, Renee Zellweger says that great line. It's like, first class, it used to be, what is it?
A better meal, now it means a better life.
Now it means a better life. That's why Cameron Crowe is so amazing. That's such a cool line.
No first class.
I mean, there is.
Oh, on the nicer airlines. I got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spirit, no, you can see. Worry.
I always request an upgrade on American, and I'm always like number 28.
Yeah. At Spirit Airlines, the pilot is sitting behind me. That's how fair it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
My Southwest videos have blown up on my page because
Because you're angry?
Fucking had it.
Yeah.
The delays.
Thanks for not sponsoring us, Southwest, because, you know, we.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like, oh, we have a good idea for a sponsor, Megan fucks it up on social media.
Sorry, they given me enough money to sponsor me. I should just say nice things because I was part of the Christmas debacle where I was stuck in Colorado for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love the way you pronounce debacle, by the
debacle.
Way.
Debacle. I like to say, but in Colorado, we say debacle.
Do you have chewing tobacco?
Oh, no, not here in California, because they got rid of that shit,
tobacco?
Too.
Did they get rid of chewing tobacco here in California?
They got rid of flavor. Want wintergreen, you're fucked. If you want a menthol, fuck you.
And if you want mouth cancer, you really got to go somewhere else.
And if you want guns, go wherever you want.
There you go.
Welcome to politics. Okay, where are we at in Greeley? I'm so curious.
I'm gonna give you number. I'm gonna just break down the list real quick because I should have done 10, but I said fuck it. I'm gonna go
do
bigger
20?
Go home. I did 20. You know. Right. So I'm gonna go with number 20. Mm-hmm. Number 20 is Cazadores Mexican Grill and Cantina.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. I know that place.
Aunt Ellen's Coffee House.
No.
And Helen's or Ellen's?
Yeah, Ellen. Helen's.
Helen's. Helen. Yeah. That's new.
Okay.
Yes. Or new
in the Burrito House. That sounds really authentic.
Don't know that All place.
Right. JB's Drive-In.
JB's. It's a drive-in. It's for burgers and fries.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
That's and, top 20.
And camera hand jobs. Red Robin.
Okay. Done.
This is where I
You're
was.
You're done with the list. Red Stop Robin. Right now.
This is where I was.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
where I
Meekers.
Lived.
Colorado Kitchen and Bar.
That is an expensive hotel restaurant.
All right. Kyoto Japanese restaurant.
Don't know that one.
Taste of Philly.
Yeah. That's a Philly cheesesteak sandwich fast food shop.
Sataramo's Pizza House and Italian Food.
Yes, I know that
Doug's
one.
Doug's Diner.
Doug's Diner is a breakfast place.
All right. Roma Restaurant is number 10.
Roma's a big pizza place there, yes.
Oh, this sounds authentic. Luna's Tacos and Tequila.
That was the guy who ran all the music in town. He also owns that place and an arcade underneath it and the music venue
so
over there.
So he monopolizes the music. Got
well,
it.
That's the only one that monopolizes. So I'm waiting for the other ones.
You have to fuck them to get on stage, basically. Got it. Weldworks Brewing Company.
Yes, they are getting international. Or oh, national, good. Okay. So they're good.
This sounds perfect for sports people. Batter Up Cakes.
Batter, it's a cupcake place.
I give it, yeah. Kenny's Steakhouse.
Sounds like they, wait, hold on.
Very
batter,
old.
Very old.
They actually take wait, buses down to Rockies
wait,
games.
Can I just say battered up cake? It sounds like they battered, beat the shit I know, out of cake. I mean,
batter up, you know, yeah. you know or batter, cake batter, but that's fine.
Where's my cake? I'm a fist
it's like,
mark.
It's either baseball
that
or.
Cake was, someone that bad. Cake didn't make me a sandwich.
Yeah. I wonder if they like the Ike Turner cake.
Yeah,
and batter up. All right. We've got then the Blue Mug Coffee and Tea. These are restaurants.
Those
this is where Megan is from.
Three of those.
This is number five.
It's a coffee place.
Then number four, you said it, El Cielo. There's
El
a Cielo everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yep. The Tavern on St. Michael Square.
I played music there and hosted trivia there.
All right.
Okay.
And then number two, Lucky Finn's Seafood Grill.
All you can eat crab legs on Sunday. All you can eat for 40 bucks and you get all you can eat side salads and fries. All day. We would sit there on Sunday.
All you can shit your pants the day after.
We would eat crab legs all fucking day, take tequila shots with oranges, eat our side Caesar salads and our fries all day.
That's like the
That's the one thing I miss.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah. Okay, got it.
That's the one thing I miss.
Number one, lame drum roll, is Rio Grande Mexican Restaurant.
Yep, Rio downtown. It has margaritas that you're only allowed, they limit you at two. You're not allowed to have more than two margaritas at that restaurant.
What the fuck?
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yep, because of how strong
a
they
two,
are.
A two drink maximum. I've never
yeah, there yeah. it. He's Real. From the comedy club. He's like, we need these two fuckers to spend some
I
money.
I love that list. It didn't list a Chop House. We have a nice steakhouse.
Okay.
So ChatGPT fucked up.
The restaurants
I
worked
up.
At are not there.
Is there really?
I made the LA list too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's an LA list.
But let's see. This will be super fast. Let's see. All right. Langer's Deli. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I went there. Actually, that's so funny. I just went there the other day for the first time.
How was it?
Because my manager told me to go there. It's great, but it's a $24 like fucking sandwich. like sandwich. Wow. Pastrami
that's like the
sandwich.
First time I went to Carnegie Deli in New York, it was like I'm like, how much for this fucking?
It's great.
Sandwich?
No, it was delicious. It was a great sandwich. Shout out to Joe at Village Idiot for recommending. All he said to me was like, go to Langer's and get the number 19. I didn't ask him what it was. I said, I don't want to know what it is. I'm going to go after I play basketball in Pasadena. I played basketball and I went over there in my shorts and everything like that. And I sat at the counter and said, hey, bro, number 19. And he brought it for me and it was a pastrami with Russian coleslaw. It was so good. But then he gave me the bill and I was like, $24 for a sandwich?
Get the fuck sandwich. Out of here. Yeah, sandwich.
Yeah.
Animal,
but it's very good. It's very good.
Good. What?
Animal, which I've heard is great, it's from the guys from John and Vinny.
I've heard of this.
It's great. Bavel, amazing.
Don't know.
I don't know why Bavel's number 18. Bavel's Middle Eastern restaurant in Yards District. It's fucking phenomenal.
Okay.
Kispaka, phenomenal down on Melrose and Highland.
Mm-hmm.
Orsa and Winston, Been that's there. Downtown.
I remember I went there for my birthday by myself. I didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to.
I've heard like mixed things about it. Pizzana, haven't been there.
Don't know what that is.
Jelena, good shit. Jelena's great.
Yeah, yep.
Legendary, but it's over fucking rated in my opinion, but it's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
I never consider myself a struggling artist until you name restaurants. I'm like, I can't afford to eat at that motherfucker.
That's why you need an expense account, my friend.
Me and that pilot from Spirit Airlines need to go halvesies on a one meal.
Make it the same amount of money.
Yeah. At least. Oh, but this is such bullshit. So the Guerrilla Tacos, Gorilla Tacos.
Yeah, I've heard a lot
so
about them.
The food truck is good. The brick and mortar doesn't match the food truck, in my opinion. But it's good. But it's just like, if you've ever eaten the food truck, you're like, fuck, the food truck is so good.
Bro, honestly, I'm going to San Diego this weekend to do shows. The Mexican food I get in San Diego, I like more than the Mexican food.
I believe it. Hell yeah, dude.
My favorite place is
just out of
Kalima's.
Proximity.
I was
at
this place called Kalima's on University in San Diego every time I go down there. I think it's because it like kisses the border. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I like their burritos a lot.
When's the last time you guys crossed the border to Tijuana?
Never. Wait, hold on. I've never been to Mexico. You think because I speak Spanish, I should cross the border to Mexico?
When's the last time you visited your grandmother?
When's the last time you went to the UK?
I didn't say that. Yeah. No, no. The last time I went to Tijuana was when I was 9. But
no. Did you see the donkey show?
No.
Did you want to see the donkey? You should have seen the donkey show. I don't know. They talked about it on South Park, allegedly.
Did you say when you were 9 or when you were a 9? What did you say?
When I was 8.
Okay, I was about to say. I'm going to start saying shit like that. I think we found something like
when I was a 9.
I think middle-aged women should start being like, when I was a 7, I was...
This should be the new thing.
When I was a 7, I dated Joe Quinn Phoenix. Yeah.
Joe Quinn. He would have fucked me when I was a 7.
Always stayed a solid 6.5, so I just don't know. Oh, that's my whole Adrian.
I'm actually not. I'm not mad at the rest of the list. Like the LA one's not too bad. Cato, the one I don't agree with is Squirrel. That place is fucking lame and overrated.
I liked it when I went, but that was years ago.
But it's fucking over. It's like, hey Squirrel, here's a toast with some sauce and a piece of fucking cheese. $75.
Yeah, you're right.
Tuamek, yes. Spago, yes. Felix, yes. Majordomo, yes.
Well, Felix is all right.
I don't agree with Bestia. I think it's overrated. I think Felix.
Bestia, for sure.
It's super overrated.
I agree with you.
Naka, I don't know that one.
Yeah, that's a sushi place.
I haven't been there.
It's only omakase. It's only a really high end taste.
Sure, the only sushi place I go to in LA is King's Buffet on Santa Monica.
There Bravo. You go. Buffet. Yeah. It's N/Naka, right?
Yeah, N/Naka. Republique, that's great. Osteria Mozza, that's great. Vespertine, I haven't been to, but I heard it's amazing.
I haven't been to that one either.
It's supposed to be phenomenal. That's like a fucking, that restaurant is a whole building.
Okay.
Guys at home, if you're listening, look up Vespertine, and it's kind of wild. It's like a architectural like masterpiece, this fucking building. Mm-hmm. And from what I have understood, you eat in different levels of the restaurant. In other words, you go here, then you go there, then you go up, and then you finish your meal. Like it's kind of this like rotating experience. And the chef, I think, is Cuban, actually, ironically, and it's a vegan restaurant. Kind of trippy, but it's supposed to be great. And then last but not least, this place is like keeps getting every award ever, and I haven't been yet because it's so fucking expensive. Providence. But I've never been because it's so expensive.
Yeah. What kind of food is at Providence?
Providence French, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a big tasting menu. It's like over $200-$300.
Not Rhode Island.
Wow.
Yeah,
honestly,
and
like...
you can't get in. It's hard to get in.
What is your favorite type of food in Los Angeles?
Ooh.
My favorite type is Korean barbecue. It's my favorite thing that I've had here.
I like Korean barbecue. I don't want to say it's my favorite. I think Mexican food still in LA is.
Mexican food's dope. I like it better in San Diego. Like here, I like
Korean
barbecue.
No, that's fair.
I go through phases for sure. Right now, I'm really in a ramen phase.
Sushi here is great.
Mm-hmm. I think Asian food in LA.
In general, yeah. Thai food here is great.
Yeah. Yeah, but those really authentic hole-in-the-wall places. And
I remember I was into pupusas for a little bit.
Ooh, so good, man.
He took me for my first one. Remember who took... It was you and your...
Alex,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we went to Bolita.
Yes.
Where he and I had drinks.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Great place.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Well, I told him the story. I don't know if you know. Bolita's... You want to pause to get the...
No, we're good. Fine. That's perfect.
No, Megan, here, I'm going to fill this
Can
up
Can I have
here.
A few drops? Oh, you're so kind.
I think they stuck God, to the so top. okay.
Thanks. No, we're good.
Friends.
So you guys went to Bolita?
So, we did. So what's funny is that because I've been in LA doing comedy for about a decade. So there's places, just because of the way the economy goes or, you know, loyalty goes among customers or whatever, like there's places that they've been knocked down that used to be like bars that I do shows at. And when he asked me to go to Bolita, which is like a Cuban speakeasy, right?
I don't know, speakeasy, but yeah, it's a Cuban cocktail
lounge
bar.
Was it the first place we went when we went out? Before we met up with you?
Yeah, before we had the pupusas.
I just want to make sure I'm envisioning where you guys were.
I was like in the place and I was like, I remember this intersection. I think I remember that place next door.
Did I kill a prostitute?
No, and then I remember I asked the bartender, I'm like, hey man, what did this place used to be? He goes, oh, it was this bar called Smog Cutter. That place used to have like 35 comics in there waiting to do 2 minutes of comedy.
Oh my God, really?
I would sign up and you'd have your name out of a bucket.
It must have smelled terrible.
It was terrible. It was like, there's
like one comic
table.
That doesn't smell bad.
But it was insane because some of like my favorite comics of my class would do that mic and they do 2 minutes of the dopest shit and no one would laugh because no one cared at the time. Everyone was just so jaded.
Who of your class would you say is like the most that their career has kind of propelled the most so far in your class? Or people that, you know, they used to see all the time at the open mics and stuff like that, that now are...
Yeah, the Michael Blaustein and Trevor Wallace I used to see a lot. They're really funny guys. They're doing great stuff. They have a really cool podcast. JT Parr and Chad Kroger of yeah. Chad Goes Deep. I used to see those guys
What up, all Council? The
time. Yeah, dude, those guys are... And they're cool fucking guys. Like, they're great guys.
They're funny as shit.
I just saw JT down in Miami because he was just shooting, so he came to a show. And he was just hanging out with me in the Miami comics. And that shit, I don't know why, but that makes me giggle. Like, it makes me feel, like, warm inside where I'm just like, oh, these Miami comics.
You're showing them your hometown, too, bro.
Yeah. Well, I made friends, these comics that I made friends with during the pandemic, and this dude that I've known for almost a decade, like, the world's come together, and everyone's getting along.
Aww.
Yeah, it's getting along. Yeah.
It's great. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm so lonely. Continue.
No, I guess we could spend time on this.
Yeah, no, let's sort this out.
Why do you feel alone? Do you want to leave?
I'm just talking to myself. Yeah, so anyway.
Did you say that out loud?
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so alone.
You know, speaking of Miami, I'm always curious because we both grew up in that town. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little bit older than you, but I want to say we still had really similar upbringings in the sense where Miami didn't have these like drastic changes until we were both here.
Yeah.
We're probably like the biggest, most dynamic differences where like we go back to Miami now. And we're like, whoa, it's cool. Or like, whoa, what the fuck? Or like, you know, there's a little bit of everything. What is your if you had a hollow leg, you can drink all you wanted to, eat all you fucking wanted to. What's your perfect day in Miami starting from first thing in the morning until the end of the night in the food space, drink space?
God, that is so...
Or comedy space. Fuck it.
Fuck it. There could be drinks at that comedy place.
Okay, where I
drink free. Okay. Slightly be.
Yeah. Okay, so I would eat at home. My dad's vaca frita is my favorite thing I've ever tried.
Fuck, it's my favorite Cuban.
I've learned how to make it recently, but I don't make it as good as him. So that's where I would eat. I wouldn't go to an expensive restaurant or anything. Like, that's just the way I'm. Like, when I was in high school and all my friends would get fake IDs and go to like nightclubs and shit like that. From my high school, all my best friends went to other high schools. We would just get a $9 bottle of rum and a pack of Black and Milds, and we'd play dominoes at somebody's house. That's what we'd do for like 3 hours and just talk shit. Because every time, I hate clubs, by the way.
Me too.
I hated them, especially in high school, because you go to these places because you want to meet girls and stuff like that. And if you put like music to its highest level, you're taking away the thing that separates me from other men, which is that I can talk.
The gift of gab.
I can speak.
Yeah.
And once you take that shit away, all they see is me there just going.
Okay. You I take away my sexiness. See how that doesn't work with the gift of gab. Yeah.
No, it really, you know.
Clubs. They're not for comedians.
But there is hope. There is hope for comedians. I do got to give it to comedians of late, because comedians are like the new hot chick arm candy.
We really are. That's because
Pete Davidson has been probably fucking his way around the world, and so is Eric Andre, man.
They're doing their thing, man.
Eric Andre is doing his thing. Like, Eric Andre is, he's posting like nude photos covering himself up with Emily Ratajkowski behind him. Like, you know, let's give it up.
I have a theory about that.
Yes.
It's gonna sound because
comedians have always been really cool, but the reason they're so much cooler now,
but they haven't wanted to be fucked by hot model chicks as much as they do now.
No, they always wanted to. That's the insane thing.
But now it's public.
They always wanted to. Yeah, it's public because the models are fine. Like being like, that's cool. I'm with them. Like, you know what I mean? It's just because the thing was is that musicians used to kind of be that, and actors
they still are.
They kind of still are, but the invention of social media showed you just how like stupid these guys kind of are.
Yeah.
Because all of them want to be like taken seriously as thinkers and shit like that. I'm like, yo, the greatest things you've ever said in your life, an ugly person wrote. So like, that's the truth. So, it's just that comedians, I love them so much. I mean, I have been very lucky. I've dated some gorgeous women. I was like the king of coming into a place and my, like, someone going like, you're with her? I'm like, yeah.
You're like, you're not the help, sir?
Crazy country.
What is this?
Crazy country, huh? I used to take as an insult. I used to really take this shit as an insult because I was so awkward and everything for so long. And finally, when I was around 25, 26, it started getting a little better for me. And yeah, it's just, just I think we're all smart enough as a society now to be like, yeah, those looks and all that shit fades, like, you know. And because of Instagram and everything like that, we now know how hot most people are. You know what I mean? Like a random,
you have a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like people on Instagram who have like 3 million followers just because they, you know, they look good. That's it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Beauty is not a finite resource anymore. It's infinite.
I'm curious to see, you know, we're at the beginning of this, and one of my guilty pleasures is, and this is really fucked up, but I'm going to admit this now. Yeah. One of my guilty pleasures is to see people who, because I'm, regardless of studying theater, music, my entire fucking life, yeah, I'm in the world of food now. And there is a slight curiosity of the hot, attractive mm-hmm. food person on social media
yeah.
who, you know, I'm being generic, but their shtick is to, like, I don't know, they're eating a giant slice of pizza and taking a picture of it in a bikini. Let's just make that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see how their career evolves when that pizza starts to catch up with them. and they no longer, you know, have that the attributes. Like, how do they diversify their career? Are they smart? Do they invest? Or do they find a guy with a fucking private plane? Like, what is the evolution of this?
I'm telling you, man, and as take a comedian, your pants off on Spirit Airlines. It's a private plane.
How does it change your game with the tool of social media? Because before, the only way somebody would see you were on Def Comedy Jam.
Right.
You were on a fucking a 30-minute late-night goddamn special.
Right.
Or maybe somebody saw you on Leno, on Johnny Carson. You know what I mean? Like, like there are, you know, somebody found you somewhere and they threw you up on TV.
Yeah.
Does it change your strategy? Do you ever think of a joke as like, cool, this is a good, shareable 30-second piece?
I mean, I always try to have things in my act that are like, there's a variety, because I'm such a fan of many different types of styles. Like, sometimes I want to write like a Stephen Wright type joke, or sometimes I want to do like a John Leguizamo act out, or sometimes I want to do like a Robin Williams set piece, or sometimes I want to do like an Eddie Murphy like impression. That, mm-hmm. You know, like I'm just such a big fan of comedy that I try to write all those things, those type of jokes. And the ones that usually end up fitting in the Instagram, like algorithm are usually like the Stephen Wright type of stuff I'm trying to go for, the Mitch Hedberg-y or mm-hmm. stuff. And I'm not saying I'm like writing jokes like them, but like,
no.
But like a similar formula of like, there's no fat on what you're saying and it exists in that sentence. And once that sentence is done, the joke's over. That stuff is really good for Instagram. I don't like doing crowd work stuff. Like I did like a crowd work clip recently, and it took my brother 2 months to convince me to release it. And it did okay. But I hated it because I really don't like crowd work.
You don't? And why?
Because I prepare my act, and I love it very much, and I want to do it for the audience. And because I feel like when you're dealing with one, unless you're really good at it, like I'm not good at it. I'm good at like, I can't do crowd work for like 20, 25 minutes. There are friends of mine who could do that shit. No problem. They're great at it. But that's not my skill set. I can do it if someone's like interrupting a show. And then once I handle it, I can get everything back on track. But I don't want to do it. And it's so funny because I learned a while ago from this great comedian. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to give away his secrets, but I remember I saw this comedian who I used to like do a lot of shows with, and he's like doing great now. I remember I saw his act like 3 or 4 times, like his headlining set, 45 minutes. So I remember every joke. I remember every beat and everything like that. And then he had this terrible heckler in the middle of one of his jokes. Again, I know the entire joke. So he has a heckler in the middle of it, and he handles this dude for about 5-6 minutes. And then he found an organic way to weave back into material where if you had seen it already, you knew how like amazing it was what he just did. Yeah. Stuff like that. I don't think too much about stuff like that. Like, you know, my brother edits all my stuff, and usually he's like, hey man, he's more in tune with the stuff than I am. So he'll be like, this thing right here, really clippable or whatever it is. But I mean, it's cool. It's fine. It brings new people. I mean, I met you through it, so that's really cool.
Well, it's like you pull the curtain back a little bit with comedy, and if anybody who's worked at least for a minute in TV, you start to understand. I'm like the worst person to watch TV with because I know exactly where the beats are going. I know when a show hasn't been picked up yet for the next season because I know they're dragging it along and they're waiting for the announcement so they can maybe move the story along a little bit. Right. It's like there's these little it'll torment your fucking life. So, you know, ignorance is bliss when it comes to the world of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Chris Rock special over the weekend. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. But you know, every beat, every moment, people don't realize how executed and precise to the minute those jokes are.
It takes time.
It takes time. It takes working, and it takes him, you know, going to the store and doing a comedy store or whatever. But then you watch. I'm trying to remember that. I'm fucking since the COVID brain.
Maybe that's why it's ruined for me a little bit because it just feels like I've been hearing him say those same things and for 2 years. Like it didn't seem new. I thought it was going to be new and exciting, and it just feels like it's been the same jokes that he's been saying, which are funny, but I've heard them.
Yeah, because you've seen him live.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about a tour. Like,
So you see, but I thought the special being what it was going to be.
But if you go see him now again,
you're
going to see new jokes if you go watch him again live.
I don't know. I think he's.
No.
Oh, because you have to do it after a live stream?
Once it goes live, you that like he's probably done. He's probably been workshopping new material, I would guess, for like 2 months.
Well, then
I don't feel like the Will Smith part was funny.
I don't think it meant to be funny, yeah. But I love the way he addressed it.
Okay.
I wasn't laughing about it per se. I mean, it made me giggle a little bit here and there, but right. I love the way he addressed it of just that it had nothing to do with him.
No.
It was all about everything that had happened in Will Smith's life leading up to that moment. And that was what, you know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess.
That was really a culmination of a lot of things. It was a very important cultural moment. And it's so sad to say that that's what it had to come to. But it was the culmination of people being too damn sensitive about jokes. Because comedians were coming for, like, not me. Like, you know, no one knows who I am. But, like, the bigger...
Five more people will know five after today's show. Yeah. At least. Counting us.
At least five.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for coming. But
it was a culmination of things in terms of, like, one side is just getting too sensitive. And then, you know, the comedic side is kind of doubling down on things. And, like, nah, we're not afraid. Reckless speech is what we need. And just to have this dude, like, finally strike a comedian was, like, a holy shit moment where, like, all cultural decency has been dropped.
Yeah. Got it.
Just been dropped completely. And the thing is that can only happen at the Oscars. Because if it happens in a comedy club, 16 comics are beating the shit out of the guy that did that. Because look at what happened at Chappelle's concert.
Yeah. Fucking came out with a rubber knife or whatever, a rubber gun with a knife on it.
I was there. I was right.
Omar was there too.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then the guy got beat up by 16 people and Busta Rhymes yelled. Yo, bust this shit up. He went like Higher Learning Busta
Rhymes.
That's
the slowest I've ever heard Busta Rhymes.
Fuck his shit up. It was great. Yeah.
He only speaks quickly. Yeah. That I was blown away, and I just want to use this as an example because it was really the first time I had ever seen crowd work. Like I saw this guy work and his name is Jeff Garlin. Sorry.
Jeff Garlin.
So I went to a UCB show and Jeff Garlin essentially emceed this UCB show.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker. So Jeff Garlin, guys, from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jeff, Larry's manager on the show. He's a actor comedian in real life, not Larry's manager. Mm-hmm. And UCB stands for Upright Citizens Brigade. It's a big sketch comedy troupe that's all, you know, it's famous internationally.
I've done some really good stand-up shows at the UCB on Franklin.
So that's where I saw him, at the UCB on Franklin. And this guy proceeds to come on and you could tell he was so unfucking prepared. Mm-hmm. And I loved it because he was just like, I'm unfucking prepared.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, he might have a nugget here and there, a bullet in his gun that he could pull out and be like, I can go in this direction if I need to.
Right.
But he did the most free form crowd work I have ever seen in my fucking life. And he was hysterical for 30 fucking minutes of pure bullshit. Talking about the day, talking about what somebody fucking told him, like all in the crowd. Uh-huh. And it was beautiful. And that's where I was like, cool, those are the two schools. Yeah. I don't know if there's a school in the middle, but there was that school of like...
Well, there's a lot of schools, man.
But like Kevin Hart, bro. Kevin Hart, I like him, but he's so rehearsed and it's great because he's worked this material out to do a stadium show and everybody wants... you know, nobody wants to go see Led Zeppelin play a different fucking solo than what you hear on the record. Mm-hmm. So when he goes out to tour, they want to hear that.
He does his
piece.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then there's some guys that are just known for like crowd work. That's what they do. And they're awesome at it. They're really good at it. And I don't think one side is necessarily better than the other. I prefer one side for my own stuff, but to watch, I'm all in on all styles. But again, I like fan out over like good comedy. Like, I never understood the divide in comedy because, you know, I mean, me and the group of friends that I came up with, we all had this, like, attitude of, like, we're going to go everywhere. So we would go try to get up at the Comedy Store, and then we would go to the alt scene, which is east of Vermont, like, you know, and that's more...
Not the state, the street here in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
the street,
yeah. Or, and then I would go do my gigs.
No Ben and Jerry's.
I would go do my gigs in Long Beach. I would go to Downey. I just wanted to go everywhere. And just when you go everywhere, you're exposed to so many different types of funny people that after a while, you're just like, it's so cool that there's so many different types of like waves to this.
Before we let you go, if you could give yourself a piece of advice when you started comedy to where you are now,
yeah,
to kind of expedite the process to start,
yeah,
what would you do? Or for people listening at home, they're like, I'm curious. I want to take that leap of faith to try to do this.
Is it that camera right there? Which camera do I look at?
It is now. Look cool. at that. Look at that cool. camera.
Don't do it. No. What I'll say is that if you could see yourself doing something else, just do that. If you can't, just know that things that you once thought were sacrifices were just like very, that there were things that you thought you should want and that you didn't. You know what I mean? Like, I've thought along the way about, like, relationships I've had or, like, friends I don't have anymore. And I've always thought about these things as sacrifices. And they're not, because every step of the way has gotten better. It gets better.
What's wow. the most fulfilling moment?
Can you look at the
moment?
Camera and say that more?
Yeah.
More?
It gets better, please.
It gets better. Yard House. Break it off here. It gets better.
Most fulfilling moment, worst moment in comedy.
I had a lot of fulfilling ones.
Okay, worst moment?
No, wait, let me tell you.
God damn it.
Wait, hold up. Right. Oh, yeah, there was a douche. What is the most fulfilling moment?
No pressure.
Oh, when I first came back to Miami and I did, I put on my own show at Gramps in Wynwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That little back room, like Shirley's, it's like 70 people. Yeah. And the first time, like, I wasn't a headliner at all. I thought I had the time, but no one knew who I was. And I threw this show just on a whim and people packed it out. And I was supposed to co-headline with another guy and he ended up having to drop because of an emergency. And I ended up doing an hour instead of a half hour and it went great. And that was huge just to know that people in Miami like gave a shit. That was really cool. The worst... I mean, I've lost a lot of friends in really silly ways. That's probably the worst part of comedy. Just because it's such a tough life style that, like, you know, I've had friends just, like, pass in really silly ways. But, like, I guess, like, humiliating. But I mean, I don't think it gets any worse than that girl that first set going, don't look at me.
Yeah, I don't like
yeah,
her.
Yeah, so don't look at Megan.
I don't like her at all. She's on my shit list.
Yeah. Mike, where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Mike the Menendez. Mike the Menendez. And I will be, when are you guys dropping this podcast?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. So I will already be back from San Diego. I will be headlining a show in Huntington Beach with my friend Kenny, please come watch me at Rec Room if you're in Huntington Beach. I post all my shows on my Instagram and TikTok, and I love what I do, and I hope I can meet y'all out there.
Hell yeah, bro. Yeah. So we end every show the same way, and the only thing we don't get back in life is time. And Megan and I want to thank you for spending a little bit of time with us here on Gil the Bottle Podcast. Please like, subscribe, rate, review, tell Megan she's pretty. Tell Mike
don't
he's
do that.
Pretty.
So pretty.
Don't
Mike.
Do it, Megan. Guys, thanks so much. See you next week. Kill Bottle Podcast.
Bye.